How can you get the information you need to succeed in business? Maybe all you need to do is ask. Many of us are either too timid or too proud to ask the right questions in the right ways, but learning to do so could supercharge our careers, according to Jeff Wetzler, author of the new book, Ask, Tap into the Hidden Wisdom of People Around You for Unexpected Breakthroughs in Leadership and Life. Jeff is an international management consultant and co-CEO of Transcend, an education innovation organization. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hi, I'm Jeff Wetzler, co-CEO of Transcend and author of Ask, Tap into the Hidden Wisdom of People Around You for Unexpected Breakthroughs in Leadership and Life. I'm going to briefly explain the problem this book tackles and then share five insights on what you can do about it. Insight one, choose curiosity. What if I told you that some of the most important people in your life aren't telling you what they really think, feel, and know? That's right. Your friends, family members, colleagues, even your customers and clients are walking around with insights, ideas, feedback, and experiences that would be incredibly valuable for you to know. But if you're like most people, too much of this treasure trove of information will forever stay hidden. For example, one of the most common things people hold back from sharing is their feedback or advice for you. The people around you can see things about you that you just can't. They can point out a blind spot in your strategic plan or gently observe an unhelpful pattern in your behavior. Most importantly, they're the only ones who can tell you how you impacted them. If something you were doing was inadvertently hurting someone or making things harder for them, you'd want to know. But most people don't offer up that kind of feedback or ideas for what you could do better. It's up to you to draw it out of them. This is what led me to develop the ASK approach, a research-backed, practice-tested method for finding out what the people around you, your friends, family, colleagues, employees, really think, feel, and know. The ASK approach consists of five highly effective, actionable steps that, when used together, will deepen your self-awareness, help you make smarter decisions, and bring new levels of depth and meaning to your relationships. It starts by choosing curiosity, awakening your genuine desire to understand what those around you really think, feel, and know. When we are authentically choosing curiosity, we are making a powerful mental shift to focus, at least for the time being, on one thing and one thing only. What could I learn from this person? Each of us is constantly telling ourselves stories about our own lives and the people in them. Our friend isn't returning our calls because they're secretly mad at us. Our coworker keeps missing deadlines because they just assume we'll pick up the slack. We loop and loop, working ourselves into a tizzy of judgment and resentment and anxiety, so certain about our own perspective that we don't get curious about what we might not be seeing. We tend to default to certainty instead of curiosity due to a combination of psychological biases and cultural conditioning. It's a survival strategy. We can't possibly process all the data we are exposed to every day, so our minds instinctively filter and select a small range of information in order to make decisions and take action. We then promptly forget that the information we're working with is only a tiny slice of the whole picture, and that this slice may be very different from someone else's. Choosing curiosity is all about breaking out of these certainty patterns. One powerful way to start is to come back to the simple question, what could I learn from this person? Insight two, make it safe. As powerful as curiosity is, you can't stop there if you want to really learn from those around you. You have to actually make it safe for them to share openly with you. Decades of research by Harvard Business School professor Amy Edmondson and others has demonstrated that in order for people to speak up, they need to feel psychologically safe doing so. In other words, they need to really believe that you will not judge, shame, or punish them for sharing openly with you. This is all the more important when there's any kind of power dynamic at play, or if you are interacting across lines of difference, such as age, race, gender, all of which can intensify the risks, real or perceived, of speaking candidly. It's amazing how often we, myself included, underestimate just how much some people around us feel unsafe to tell the truth. It is a painful realization. The idea that other people, even the people you love most, may not feel comfortable opening up with you fully. But recognizing this reality also empowers you to do the work to make it as safe, comfortable, and easy as possible for them to share. It starts by creating connection. When people feel genuinely connected to you and you to them, you both feel safer. You can relax in one another's company. True personal connection lubricates the emotional gears needed to get honest and tackle uncomfortable topics. One of the most effective ways to do this is to enrich and deepen your stories about one another. A question like, "What's the story behind how you ended up doing what you do today?" can prompt people to share a part of themselves that you don't already know, while also allowing them to share only as much as they feel comfortable. But you have to share too. People are far more likely to share what matters to them if you open up about your intentions to learn, and if they perceive you as truly open to learning from them. This starts with explaining why you're asking a question, so they don't have to guess at your agenda. This way, they know upfront that they're not being tricked or misled into sharing something that you could use against them. It's also important to communicate that you can handle whatever they have to say. And this part is essential, that you won't hold them responsible for any emotional reactions that you have. The fear of hurting, upsetting, or angering you is the number one reason people don't tell you what they really think and feel. But identifying and assuaging this fear upfront is often the permission slip they need to start sharing. But remember, once you make this promise, you have to keep it. This step takes vulnerability, something that I and so many people can struggle with. But it's a risk you have to take if you want others to open up to you so you can truly learn from them. Insight 3, pose quality questions. If you've done the first two steps of the ask approach, you're already light years ahead of most people. But to really find out what you most need to know, you have to pose quality questions. I'm convinced that the right question asked in the right way is the most powerful tool for learning and for connection that we have. Yet despite how powerful questions are, most of us have never actually learned how to pose good questions, or even what distinguishes a quality question from a crummy one. The good news is it's never too late to learn. Too often, questions are motivated by a desire other than learning and understanding, such as convincing, proving, blaming, or even attacking the other person, even if we don't realize it. Yes-no questions like, "Don't you agree?" or those that put people on the defensive, "What were you thinking?" Those don't produce any valuable information and can actually shut down conversations. By contrast, quality questions help you learn something from the other person. They signal true curiosity, reflecting a genuine intent to learn from and understand the other person, not to prove a point or influence or fix them. They invite honesty by being clear and direct with no alternate agenda. Quality questions tap into the other person's story to surface the underlying meanings, reasons, emotions, and experiences. A question like, "What matters most to you in this situation?" can help you identify what someone really cares about, while asking, "Can you walk me through your thought process?" can surface the logic beneath their beliefs or actions. You can use questions to enlist someone's help in solving a problem, like, "I'm stuck. Can you help me think this through?" Or to find holes in your own reasoning by asking, "What do you think I might be missing?" Understanding your own goal for asking the question is essential to choosing the right one for the job. Questions can also be used to invite feedback from another person. This kind of vulnerability can feel scary, but this type of question also generates the most valuable information, especially when it comes to relationships. Too few of us ever ask about, well, us. But questions like, "What could I be doing better here?" or "How did I contribute to the challenge we faced?" can bring issues to the light where they can be addressed instead of allowing them to fester beneath the surface. Insight 4, listen to learn. Once you pose the right questions and the other person starts sharing, how much you learn depends entirely on how well you listen. How can you listen so that you truly hear everything someone is saying and even what they're not saying? This step is deceptively tricky. One survey found that 96% of people think of themselves as good listeners. Yet research shows that we hear and retain only a sliver of what people are really telling us. It's easy to feel like you're listening when what you're really doing is waiting quietly until it's your turn to respond, or scanning the other person's words for holes and ammunition you can use to defend yourself or rebuff their argument. I'm as guilty of this as anyone, especially when the person shares things that feel hurtful or that I strongly disagree with. But it's in these situations that you most need to return to the question, "What could I learn from this person?" and then allow that intention to guide your listening. The only goal is to understand what the other person is trying to share with you, Everything else, yes, even your very best counterpoints, must take a backseat in order to free up the attentional resources you need to listen for multiple levels of meaning simultaneously. In fact, you need to triple how much you hear by listening through three channels at once. Most people only listen through a single channel, the content of what others say. This includes the facts of the matter and the claims they are making. But to really listen to learn, you have to pay attention to two other channels. The second is emotion. Through this channel, we listen to understand what feelings are being communicated, including the needs and desires behind those feelings. For those of us, myself included, who have been trained and socialized to prioritize highly rationalistic forms of thinking and knowing, learning how to pick up on these emotional messages can take some work. Sometimes I get so caught up in listening for the facts that I forget to tune into the emotional information as well. But experience has taught me that this channel is not only incredibly rich, but often the most essential thing that's going on. The third channel is action. What are they doing through communicating with you? And what are they trying to get you to do? Maybe they're trying to persuade you to see their perspective or to enlist your help with something they're struggling with. Listening through this channel doesn't mean going along with their action. It's about expanding your understanding about what they are trying to express. Insight 5, reflect and reconnect. Finally, what do you do with what you hear? If you're anything like me, you might be tempted to immediately begin fixing or solving or even apologizing. But this is when it pays to pause and take a beat so you can reflect. This is what lets you make sure you're actually taking the right insights from what you heard. To do this, ask yourself three questions. First, how might what I heard revise my story about the situation? When you sit with this question, you have the opportunity to nuance, challenge, or revise your prior understanding. This can involve rethinking the role that you yourself play in the story, the role of others, or the task you set out for yourself. Perhaps you realize there are other aspects of the situation that you weren't thinking of, or other conclusions you could draw. Next, ask, based on what I heard, what action steps can I take? When you reflect on this question, you get powerful insights about what you can start, stop, or continue doing in response to what you heard. Maybe it's an action you can take or change. Maybe it's a new decision or move you can make. Finally, ask yourself, how might what I heard challenge my deeper worldviews, assumptions, or ways of being? This is the deepest and often most emotional level of reflection, and also where the most important learning occurs. Because if you don't evolve, you'll likely keep bringing the same old stuff to every new situation you encounter. It can be painful to question your deeply held worldviews and ways of being. After all, they've gotten you here, and it can feel scary to lose them. This is also the place where you have to confront the not-so-pretty biases and prejudices that you, like all of us, have internalized over the course of your life, and to begin the hard work of unlearning them. But it's here that the greatest transformations occur. Once you've reflected, reconnect with the other person who shared insights with you, and let them know how what they said impacted you. I can't emphasize enough just how important this piece is. Think about the risk the other person might have taken by opening up with you. They need to know that it was worth it, that their words impacted you in some meaningful way. If you don't reconnect, it can leave the other person feeling unappreciated or worse, used. But when you take the time to share what you've learned, you open the door to deeper connection and ongoing learning that benefits you both. I found that each of the five practices of the ASK approach is powerful on its own, but together they're nothing short of a superpower, one that anyone can use to transform their results, their relationships, and unlock unprecedented learning and growth in every area of their life. While these are powerful skills for individual people, organizations can also build a culture of inquiry into the fabric of their DNA through hiring practices, training, rewards, and most important, the modeling that leaders do. It feels like every day when I look around society, I see examples of us not learning enough from each other. But I also see so many opportunities, challenges in desperate need of more curiosity, better questions, and deeper listening. So many of our most pressing issues, from the climate to political polarization to the culture wars, even international conflict, are also opportunities for us to turn towards each other, to ask questions of one another, and to find new paths forward together. My hope is that the ASK approach helps more people and organizations build the capabilities that are most essential for tapping into the hidden wisdom of people and unlocking the collective genius all around you. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Jeff. That was Jeff Wetzler with 5 Big Ideas from ASK, Tap into the hidden wisdom of people around you for unexpected breakthroughs in leadership and life. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.